Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Back on the spring preview circuit here, and today we're talking about the team that's likely to be the favorite to not only win the SEC championship, but the national championship, the Georgia Bulldogs. Jordan Hill joins us from Dogs 24/7, and this is going to maybe sound like a weird question. You know, this is a team that was number one in the nation for most of the year last year. They'll be the preseason number one in all likelihood when those polls come out. But what does Georgia need to do to get better this year?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just settling in on a few of the position battles that are going on as we're talking right now during spring practice. You know, they bring back Carson Beck. They bring back some big playmakers really on both sides of the ball. But you've just got a few question marks and some at positions that, you know, really, really gave Georgia issues last year. I think specifically cornerback, you know, Kamari Laster was a lockdown corner last year. He's a guy that, you know, could wind up going in the first round in April. He's probably a second rounder, but you could count on him. And then the other position, they kind of struggled at times. Dalen Everett was the main starter. You had other guys rotate in there. And you go back to that SEC championship game, again, the only game that Georgia lost last season, and Dalen really got attacked. He gave up some big plays that went a long way in Alabama winning that game. So, you know, I think the biggest thing, again, like you mentioned, Brian, Georgia's going to be the betting favorite going into the season. I think that, you know, the expectation is at the very least they'll make the 12-team playoff, but that, you know, they'll be one of those top seeds. But to try to go from last season, which – again, other than that loss, was a very dominant season. They need, you know, someone to step up at corner, whether that's Dalen Everett or some of the other guys competing. They're going to need some of the receivers to step up now that Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey and those guys are off to the NFL. They've got the ability to do it. We've seen a lot of talent, a lot of guys flash this through this point in spring practice. But there's definitely some guys that are going to have to step up if Georgia is going to live up to what are very, very high expectations.
If you ask me who the best quarterback in the SEC is, I would say Carson Beck. I think that it's a three-horse race between him, Quinn Ewers, which is weird to say because he plays at Texas, and Jackson Dart. Sell me on Carson Beck being the best quarterback in the SEC. What makes him the best quarterback in the SEC?
He's just very efficient. He's a guy that even last year, you know, you go in and that was his first season as a starter. And it's the first time he'd really played a whole lot of snaps since like 2019, you know, back when he was in high school. I mean, he had waited in the wings and he had played in some mop-up duty. But how much can you really learn from some of those moments when he goes into games that are decided? And there was never really that game. You know, I feel like it's so common, Brian, when we see a guy that's starting for the first time that – you just know that there's going to be a game where he throws three interceptions. Maybe they win, but you're like, man, you know, this guy's got a long way to go. And he never really had that. I mean, he did a very good job of not forcing throws. He did a very good job of taking what the defense gives him. And it showed up in the final numbers. I mean, he wound up setting the program record for completion percentage over the course of the season. I think he's just a guy that's very comfortable in this offense and what's expected of him. And that's what we've heard during spring practice, is that you can tell that Carson has a confidence about him now that he's got a season under his belt. And he talked about that early on in spring, saying that, you know, last year sometimes he kind of felt like he couldn't tell people certain things or give certain advice to some of the older players because he was going through it for the first time as a starter. Now he's got that under his belt. I think that he's got a world of confidence, and I don't, you know, there's been talk about him being a Heisman favorite. It's always hard to see if Georgia is going to put up the numbers that would give someone a Heisman, but I think he's an All-American type of quarterback, and I think by the time we get to fall, anyone who hasn't seen that already is going to see that pretty quickly.
I want to get an injury update from you from a local kid here in Mississippi, Branson Robinson out of Germantown, Mississippi. I thought he was all lined up to be the next super stud Georgia tailback, suffered an injury a season ago. Where is he in his rehab, and what role will he play this year for the Bulldogs?
Yeah, it's a big question. I mean, he had a pretty serious leg injury toward the back end of fall camp, which obviously getting hurt at any point is really rough, but he was really getting a lot of attention and was a guy that I thought last season could have been like the breakout star, one of those big running backs that sort of takes over and winds up being the lead back. And yeah, they've taken it really slow with this recovery. It's a pretty serious injury and they didn't want to rush him back. We've seen him around practice. We had a chance to watch practice a few weeks ago and he was not participating, but he was in uniform. He was moving around. I think based on everything we've heard, his progress is in line with what they were expecting. Again, it's sort of a big question of what role he'll play this year coming off of that injury, because again, that injury was like in August, so we're not even close to, being a year removed from that injury. So he's a big question mark. I think what they have done as far as his timeline, it sounds like everything's going according to plan, which is great news for Branson. But a big question mark of just what role he'll play by the time we get to late August and September, what he'll look like coming off of that injury and what he's able to do in what'll be his redshirt sophomore season.
Every year with Georgia, we look up in November and there's some guy that on their defense that, oh, now he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He's going to be a top five pick. And you didn't really know about him that much before the start of the season. Who is that guy for you this year?
That is going to be tough to say as far as going in, who could be draft eligible. I mean, the guy that I think will wind up being a first round pick off of this defense is going to be Malachi Starks. But I think anyone who's gone against him at this point sort of knows who that is and what he's capable of. I'd say the guy that Georgia fans are really watching to see if it clicks this year is going to be Mykel Williams. He's a guy that's played defensive end a lot for them. He played really well his freshman year. I mean, he put on a show in the Peach Bowl against Ohio State. I mean, did a really good job against Paris Johnson, a guy who wound up being a high draft pick. And you sort of wanted to see him take that step forward as a sophomore. And he had his moments, but it was not what fans had hoped for. Definitely, if you look at the statistics, he didn't take that step forward. And he's kind of a big question mark going into spring and even as we look forward going, before the season and fall camp. There was a lot of talk before the Orange Bowl that he would be playing more outside linebacker, which is what he played in high school. It was something that he was really interested in, sort of went to the coaches about doing, and he had done it occasionally last season. I know against Kentucky earlier in the year, he had gotten some reps standing up. We saw more of that against Florida State. We've seen a little bit of it this spring. He's kind of been working at both positions, so I think he's a guy to watch. And the other guy I'd say too is Jaylen Walker, who hasn't really started a ton for Georgia. Has been used more as like a third down pass rusher, but he's an inside linebacker by trade. They've kind of let him loose at outside at times. He was a big part of when Georgia was successfully getting after Jalen Milroe in that SEC championship game. I think if there's somebody that people outside of Athens aren't all that familiar with, that just comes onto the scene and does really well, I would point to Jaylen Walker, a guy that is an inside linebacker by trade, and I think we may see him more at that position in the coming season.
Georgia with the number one overall recruiting class, no matter where you look. Obviously, an influx of talent every single year there in Athens. Who are some new guys to keep an eye on, both from the recruiting class and maybe from the transfer portal?
Well, I'll start with the transfer portal and talk about a guy that's gotten a lot of praise early on in spring practice, and that's Colby Young. He's like 6'3", coming out of Miami, was the Hurricanes, I think, second leading receiver last year. And he has really lived up to the high expectations. Georgia's done a very good job in recent years of going into the portal and getting help at wide receiver specifically. I think Colby Young's got a legitimate chance to be the starting X receiver, and that would be huge on that front. As far as some of the freshmen to watch, Ellis Robinson, a cornerback, a guy that has really, really drew a lot of attention going back to the Orange Bowl. He was one of several freshmen that enrolled early for bowl practices. And you can just look at him and just see how long he is at that position. But he's got a ways to go as far as learning the expectations of that position at Georgia. But a lot of people are excited about him. And then probably the recruit that Georgia fans were the most excited about signing in this most recent class, KJ Bolden, a safety that had been committed to Florida State. had chosen the Seminoles over the Bulldogs just before the football season had begun. Georgia flips him in that December signing period and lands him. He's at a position of real need for Georgia. They're trying to figure out who is going to start opposite Malachi Starks with Javon Bullard now off to the NFL. I'm not sure that KJ is going to win that job just because he is so new and he's got so much to learn. And they've gotten some veteran guys in front of him like Dan Jackson, Alabama transfer Jake Pope, Ja'Cory Thomas, David Daniels, Sisavon. They've had a lot of guys that have gotten reps and now have an opportunity to maybe win that job. But there's a lot to be excited about KJ Bolden. And even if he's limited to a special teams role this season, I think he's going to turn some heads when he is on the field.
Obviously, the story of the offseason is what's happened over in Tuscaloosa with Nick Saban retiring. And to me, that leaves Georgia kind of alone on top. I don't know that Alabama is still going to be there without Saban. I don't think Texas is quite there yet. Can Georgia be this decade's Alabama? There's 6 more years left in this decade, or 5 more years, however you want to do the math. I don't know. But can they win, another 2, 3 titles and really stamp that program as the dominant program of this decade in college football?
I think if there is a team, that Georgia is the team. And I'm really fascinated just to see how this season plays out, more so with the 12-team playoff. And, does it make things harder for a team having to play those extra games and what Georgia looks like at that point in the season? But no, I mean, I think they're very clearly, to me, the team that benefited the most from Nick Saban retiring, not only because you remove Saban and big question marks, even though I think Kalen DeBoer's a really good coach, you do, it's an unknown in Tuscaloosa, which it hasn't been for so long now. And Georgia benefited, once Nick left, went and hired Treveris Robinson from that staff, went and got Jake Pope, as I mentioned, a transfer. They've got an opportunity not only because of the success they've had in recent years, but Georgia's continued to recruit so well. I mean, you could pretty much book a top three class pretty much at worst, and there's just not very many teams that can do that with Georgia. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's very, very clear that sort of the ball is in Georgia's court right now to sort of take up that mantle of the dynasty. But we know how hard it is in the SEC. We know it's only going to get harder with Texas and Oklahoma joining. But the Bulldogs have what I think it takes to become that dynasty. And it's going to just be really interesting to see how it plays out again. So excited to see what that looks like in the first year of the 12-team playoff.
Georgia back on Mississippi State schedule this year and next year. We've suddenly become rivals here somehow, Jordan. The Mississippi State and Georgia played 5 times in the last 8 years. The only other West team to play that many times, obviously Auburn, who plays Georgia every year. So Georgia in Athens this year for Mississippi State, and then they're back in Starkville in 2025. Jordan Hill, Dawgs 24/7, man. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.